It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
They get up every morning from the wrong clock's warning.
What up? Morning, everyone. Welcome in. Time for another edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Hope you had a great Monday. It's the Tuesday, April 16th, 2024 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Zach Boyd with you. Broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, their spring sale continues. It's where family and fun come together. They're located at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. It's patio season, so come by Family Leisure. Check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets, factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture, and so much more at Family Leisure. And the first hour of the program is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Currently 69 degrees. It'll be a warm one. It'll be 82 today with a mixture of clouds and sun. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible during the day. But tonight, looks like there could be some severe weather is a possibility. Variable clouds with showers, scattered thunderstorms. Storms more numerous this evening, so prepare for that. Chance of rain at 40%, so still under 50% chance. Low near 70 degrees. Then tomorrow for your Wednesday, cloudy with a high of 82 degrees. Coming up on the program today, we'll be joined by Colin Cody from News Channel 3 at 8:05. He was at the Masters on Friday. He also covered yesterday's Memphis Grizzlies exit interviews. We'll talk to him about both of those topics. Jeff Crane at 8:25 from the University of Memphis, their deputy AD who joins us each and every week. And our new golf segment with Mickey Barker, the City of Memphis Golf Administrator. He will join us at 9:05. And each week, not necessarily every single week, but Mickey will bring along a few friends from time to time, and that will include today. Bill Bergen will join us. He's the golf architect of a number of golf courses, including Audubon. He'll give us an update on what's happening at that golf course here in Memphis. We'll obviously talk Grizzlies with their exit interviews yesterday. Also news for the Memphis Tigers basketball schedule for next year. Portal news continues in college basketball, and today the floodgates may open as it's the spring portal session for college football. So already a bunch of names being mentioned and will throughout the day. We also will talk NBA playoffs as the play-in games begin tonight. And the U.S. men's basketball Olympic team announced all but one spot. We will go over that. We got Humdinger's trivia. That'll come your way at approximately 8:05, so stay tuned for that, and talk some Major League Baseball as well. We'll take your calls and your texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That's your lineup for today. How are you this morning?
I am splendid.
Yeah, you good?
I'm great.
Nice.
Better than good. Great.
Why? Are you just saying that?
Just good. Just great.
No, you went from good to great. There's a big difference.
I mean, just feeling strong today.
Very nice. By the way, for those interested, yesterday at the basically the last half hour of our show, for a few moments, we went live to Boston in the Boston Marathon as my daughter-in-law, Dori Sellers Gaston, who has battled breast cancer and is just an incredible story of perseverance, running in the marathon for the first time in the Boston Marathon. And happy to say that no issues, completed the task of 26.2 miles yesterday, raised a lot of money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
That's great. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Me and her combined to run 26.2 miles yesterday.
And she didn't do a Rosie Ruiz. Was that the lady's name that did the shortcut?
I believe that's something like
Rosie Ruiz. I don't know. That comes to mind. And was it the Boston Marathon? It was a marathon. I know that.
My marathon knowledge is very, very limited.
She cut the the course. There was one dude, I think, one year took a cab. Got into a cab and went around. Just crazy stuff. An Ethiopian one for the men, and I think a Kenyan woman. Shocking, wasn't it?
The woman was a repeat winner, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, Did she better her time?
I have no idea. I just in passing yesterday, I thought I heard them say that she was the first repeat winner in some period of time.
Well, good for them. Congratulations to every person. The more than, I think, 20,000 runners that they had that raced in the Boston Marathon. So as I mentioned today, the spring portal begins, opens up, if you will. And we already knew this. I already had talked about this last week. But Pete Thamel tweeting out, one of the more well-known portal names has officially entered the NCAA portal. Ohio State running back Dallin Hayden, pride of Christian Brothers High School, who has 663 yards and 6 touchdowns in 2 seasons, and that included a redshirt season last year. So I'll be curious to see where Dallin ends up.
Yeah, I would certainly think that that he will have plenty of options, that he will be coveted by a number of programs, and hopefully he finds a place where he can get an opportunity to get on the field and with some consistency and show exactly what he's able to do.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that young man. I'm a big fan of that family. I would think with his intelligence and with his family in his corner that he'll get to a place where he's on the field, because it makes no sense to just go to a big school, just to be at a big school, if you're once again lost in the shuffle. Now, I believe that he deserved a lot better at Ohio State, didn't get that. They obviously went out. They brought in Judkins from Ole Miss. Henderson's back. So the numbers game obviously hurt him. But don't go into another situation that's similar to that. Go into a situation where you can be the one or two. And if that's the case, you will get your opportunity. And it's been proven time and time again, especially over the last 30 years in the NFL draft, or even in free agency, that they will find you if you have the goods, and you'll make it at that next level. And that's the goal of a lot of these guys, although a very small percentage of them will make it in the NFL, the ultimate of football for anybody playing pigskin. So we wish Dallin well. And, of course, as names start to come in, we will update you on it. I saw a story yesterday, and I can't find it now, that Tennessee's leading tackler from a year ago is expected to jump in the portal. But I have not seen any more after seeing that initial report that came out. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. So yesterday I had a chance to get over to the Grizzlies exit interviews. By the time I got there, it started at 10. I had missed Zach Kleiman, caught the very end of Taylor Jenkins, and then stayed around for a bunch of the players. But nothing earth-shattering. Kleiman basically talking about things like the big, which we have discussed ad nauseum, saying that they will at least, and this was, again, an obvious one, at least adding one big, if not multiple bigs. He talked about Ja Morant, and then Ja talked about himself as well, that he expects to be completely healed and cleared by midsummer and ready to go and work out like he needs to work out to prepare for the 24-25 season. Kleiman talked about Vince Williams and his unbelievable jump this past season before getting hurt, that he will absolutely have a significant role with this team, and mainly because he can play defense. He's a 3-and-D guy, but he can play defense, and that's a very important thing in the stable for Taylor Jenkins. He said that they still feel very strongly about Luke Kennard. However, there's still a decision to make. That could be one of those deals where they rework his contract, they, let him go. There's a lot of possibilities there. Derrick Rose spoke. It's still amazing, the transformation of Derrick Rose. Now, mind you, I hadn't really had that opportunity to hear Derrick Rose talk in any forum since he was at Memphis, when he came in as that freshman who was shy and didn't say much at all. Obviously, with many, many years to mature, NBA, MVP, and now a family man, he's become almost like a philosopher, and just to listen to him. But he did say, Eli, that he spoke with Zach, he spoke with Taylor, he spoke with the important people in that organization from a basketball standpoint, on the court standpoint, and he said he will be back next year. Said he will be back and ready to play and help out this team. That was one I thought, well, probably he won't be back. Well, now he says, yep, absolutely he'll be back. Because you start to look at the numbers on the roster and where moves can be made, because obviously you're bringing in a first-round draft pick unless you trade it away. They do have 2 second-round picks, but don't necessarily have to keep those guys. It all depends. But Derrick Rose will be back. So that's some of the things that were said yesterday in the exit interviews.
Yeah, the Derrick Rose thing, it would be great if he was back and, I guess, healthy for the entire year. Maybe he could actually help out. But, what are the chances he's going to be healthy? Certainly for the entire year, when this year basically couldn't stay healthy for more than like 2 or 3 games at a time.
Right.
It's out. The good thing, I guess, is it's not some big contract that they signed him to, but and just because he says he's going to be back and they say that now, you never know how the offseason goes, so that it still could end up being something where he is not back. The comments by Zach Kleiman on Jaren Jackson Jr., once again, confirming what was rather obvious, in that they prefer Jaren Jackson Jr. at the 5. He said that he believes they are in a better position with Jaren Jackson Jr. at the 5. But again, my thing is, I would assume they're keeping an open mind in this when they go into the offseason, is that going into the offseason, knowing you have to add a big, and as he said, it's either whether it's a starting big or a rotational big, whatever, you shouldn't be saying that we're approaching this with Jaren as the 5. You should just be approaching this as whatever the best player we can get is to pair with Jaren. That's what we'll go. And if that means the best we can get is a 5, and that means Jaren's a 4, great. If that means the best we can get is a 4 and Jaren's a 5, that's great. Like, to me, that's the approach you should take, is that we're just going to try and get the best player we can at either one of those two positions and then move Jaren. And this is the good thing about Jaren's versatility. We can move Jaren to fit based on whatever we can get.
Well, for the most part, they avoided the label. The 5, the 4. Jaren Jackson Jr., when he spoke yesterday, he avoided saying that as well. Now, Brandon Clark came out and said that, yes, Jaren's the 4, and they will go out there and they will get it. He didn't say that as a matter of fact, but he said that's the preference, is Jaren's the 4. You bring in a 5 that's sort of like what you lost in Steven Adams, and he preferred coming off the bench, which is what they were for those 2 straight years where they finished as the second seed in the West. Jaren was the 4, Steven Adams was the 5, Brandon Clark came off the bench. But Brandon Clark doesn't make the decisions. But he said that. In fact, there were a couple of
people. Which is funny that to hear a player say the exact opposite of what the GM of the team said.
Yes.
Or just come out and blatantly say, like, no, I prefer the other way.
I think Kleiman, who's the most important person because he's the one who makes the decisions, I think he's in the minority. I think the media, I think the fans out there, for the most part, again, if we're going to distinguish a 5 and a 4, rather, except you certainly would like Jaren Jackson as a 5. You've said it, and you're not alone. I understand that. But most people, I think, that I've spoken to, they like it the way it was. Now, you don't have Steven Adams. Can you find anybody like Steven Adams? That's the question. But the other thing is, too, they talked about different scenarios in different games against different opponents. There are going to be games where Jaren makes sense as the 5. There are games where you need to have a bully 5 in there to battle Jokic, to battle Sabonis and some of those big centers. It's different. Jackson against Embiid, I'm not saying he could shut down Embiid, but Embiid will go outside and shoot most of his shots from outside the painted area. And Jackson has that athleticism and versatility to do so. So I think it might be matchup-oriented. But if we're strictly going by a number, which they're not doing, except Brandon Clark kind of alluded to it.
Well, Zach Kleiman Absolutely use the number. He said we believe we are in a better position with Jaren at the five.
Okay, so he did say five. Like I said, I was driving to come in there and
miss. Or he said playing center. He didn't say five. He didn't use a number. He said center.
Right, but again, if you're getting, if you're going out there and getting anybody from Nick Claxton to Andre Drummond, to me, they're the five. And Jaren's the four, if you want to go again by numbers. But again, that'll be interesting to see what they do. It'll also be interesting to see if they bring in two centers, if they draft a center, if it works out with what position they're in, that they would take somebody like Klingon. You know, it all depends on where they – how about if they get the number one pick? Are they looking at Saar? Are they looking at a big there? If they're picking seventh or drop to eighth, I guess they could drop to ninth. You know, will they skip and go for just the best player available there? Because maybe they feel it's too early to go with somebody like a Filipowski if he's on their radar. So will they do that? Free agency-wise, trade-wise. I mean, again, there's still, like there was last offseason, a plethora of wing players. And they're going to have to make a move, I believe. So there's a possibility that you could bring in a center in that way, free agency or trade-wise, and that would be your veteran center. So they could have two added to what Jaren Jackson Jr. is and what Brandon Clark is coming off the bench. So it'll be interesting to see, but that seems to be the main emphasis, draft slash big. But they also have to figure out the Kennard situation. They have to figure out, eventually, they'll have to figure out rotation, because G.G. Jackson said something that I thought was interesting. Let me see, where is it? Now, this is where the real work begins, because all the stars are coming back, so I've got to find where I fit. The only one they said, as far as the rotation is concerned, is Vince Williams. And we were talking about it yesterday that it's not out of the question that Vince Williams could start. And assuming that Marcus Smart is back, and I still think Marcus Smart could be dealt with the right return, that maybe Marcus Smart would come off the bench. It's interesting, Marcus Smart was ill yesterday, so he did not talk to the media. And Luke Kennard did not talk to the media yesterday as well. Conspiracy theorists, they could say what they want. Maybe it's a coincidence, but again, Kennard's the one guy you look at the roster and go, he may very well not be back. Now, as far as whether Zaire will be dealt or even Laravia, Conshaw, you know, things like that, I don't know, who knows? But I think it'll be an active offseason for the Grizzlies. It has to be, because they have to be better. I don't think they just start the car and they're back to second best in the West. Certainly, they have the capability of being right up there at the top again. But you can't just assume everything will be status quo. Everybody will be healthy for the entire 82 games. They need to add. They need to get better in the offseason. And that's what Kleiman and company are going to try to do.
Yeah, and again, I mean, they are in a tough position salary-wise. I mean, they've got to – they really need to clear – salary, and however they can go about doing that, whether that's, you know, having to give up basically Zaire for nothing or something like that. You know, Bobby Marks did his annual, you know, breakdown of all the teams that are eliminated. And they're at basically $160 million without Luke Kennard. So you add in Luke Kennard, if you did pick up the option, at over $14.5 billion, and then the first round draft pick, if you went with just, if you just said they stayed, like they end up at seven, because that's where they are record wise, that contract will start at around $7 million, probably a little bit over $7 million in that first year. So those two would be a combined over $20 million. You're talking 21, almost 22, probably $22 million. $182 million puts them in the first apron. I don't know whether Robert Parra wants to pay the luxury tax at all. I'm pretty certain they don't want to be in the first apron of the luxury tax. So, you know, they've got to clear some salary one way or another. And maybe that means you don't even take the first round draft pick. Maybe you either use that as a trade, or you trade it for picks down the line or whatever, but to avoid taking on that salary. I don't know, but It depends, I guess, if there's nobody you really love in that position and somebody wants that pick, then certainly you could go that route. But they've got to figure some things out cap-wise along the way here.
It was good to hear and see Ja Morant, who seemed very positive, and the other players talking about Ja Morant. They were very, very encouraged, especially a veteran player like Derrick Rose, who talked about his budding relationship with Ja, that it's still not where it's going to eventually be. It's still like a feeling out process because a lot of times they didn't see each other. Obviously, they didn't play a lot on the court together. But the relationship is building. His son, Derrick Rose's son, is playing for Ja Morant's AAU team. Ja talked about the AAU team, and he'll be away on weekends with the team. And he thought how important it was last year, this past season, to be able to travel with the Grizzlies and do everything with the exception of playing in the game. So that was good news to hear that. That was very encouraging. I'm sure we'll get more from Colin Cody when he joins us at 8:05.
Here is one thing that I this was in the Bobby Marks breakdown of the Grizzlies offseason. And this is in there in his thing about Jaren or what the five versus the four, all that thing. Mm-hmm. He put in there that the Grizzlies were outscored, I think it was by 7 points per 100 possessions with Jaren at the center this year, and then compared it to last year and when he was at power forward, how they outscored opponents by whatever per 100 possessions.
You're going to talk about the players that he has assigned.
Yeah, right? I guess with Jaren playing the center this year, I would expect that the Grizzlies were going to be outscored. He was playing with a bunch of 10 days and 2 ways. Like, yes, whatever the numbers tell you about him at the center position this year, you cannot, like, they don't matter because
exactly.
He's playing with non-NBA players generally while he's out there at center this year. So that's just, to bring that up makes no sense. There, yes, anybody that was playing center was going to be outscored by their opponents because you're playing with guys who won't be in the league next year.
Yeah, the stats were factual, but it was certainly misleading. All right, when we come back, the United States men's basketball Olympic team set other than one position. We'll go over that team. Also, a huge night last night in the WNBA with the draft. We will discuss that on the program today. Lots to come, including more portal news, both football portal and basketball portal news. Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration for all your roofing and home repair needs. It's a simple call away. Dial up Brandon McCullough at 901-438-5084. Tell him you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, and they will take care of your roof for you. Go to newroofmemphis.com as well for more information on the company. Locally owned and operated, they offer financing with different plans and options to choose from, including a 6, 12, or 18-month same-as-cash option. They'll work with your insurance company or out-of-pocket, whatever it takes to get that new roof or that roof repaired. Pinnacle does both residential and commercial roofing, so business owners, along with property managers, obviously homeowners, if you have a leak or any other roofing problem, call Brandon today. They'll come out and do a free roof inspection. They're licensed, bonded, and insured, and a member of the Better Business Bureau. Get a 5-year labor warranty on the purchase of a new roof, and all their work is satisfaction guaranteed. They do carpentry work, exterior painting. They can replace gutters, put up fencing and siding, rotten wood repair, install shingles. Quality work at a very reasonable price. Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration for all your roofing and home repair needs. Call Brandon today at 901-438-5084 or go online to newroofmemphis.com. Just underway on a Tuesday, this is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
You know that I need somebody.
Couple of texts here on the Sissy's Law Cabin listening line at 901-360-8255. That's 901-360-8255. Writer Corey texts in, says outside of a couple, Jaren would be a tough matchup nightmare on a nightly basis, pretty much. He's too versatile to be labeled one or the other, in my opinion. At the five, he'll be a tough guard. Yeah, again, that's my approach would be like we're not going to go into it. But again, clearly the Grizzlies. And this was obvious down the stretch of the season because when Taylor Jenkins would talk about it, like and then Zach Kleiman confirmed it even more yesterday, they prefer him at the five. Like, that's where they want Jaren to be. Now, does that, I don't know how dead set they are in their approach to the offseason that we want him to be the five. I hope it's not at all, but, you know, they clearly believe they are better with Jaren playing the five rather than the four. You know, and Kleiman did say that they're, you know, the pairing of Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. together, they still very much believe in that pairing as well. I still don't think they would be the starters together, but I guess it's certainly not out of the question.
Well, as long as they have a guy next to them that can rebound the basketball, because I don't care how you slice it, he is not a good rebounder. He's a great shot blocker. He's a terrific offensive player. He's a big presence. But he is not a good rebounder for whatever reason it is, maybe because he's out on the perimeter, guarding bigs that go out on the perimeter. I don't know. I don't have an answer why he's a bad rebounder, but he is. So as long as they got somebody in there that can get offensive rebounds and keep possessions alive, then I'm cool. I don't care if you want to label it five or the four or whatever, but they have to get that type of player. And that's the type of player they're going to go after.
Another texter says, the way the young players stepped up this year, Grizzlies should deal Rose, Smart, Kennard, and Zaire. Pick best available at seven, meet salary cap. Well, I mean...
Rose isn't being dealt.
Like, the deal guy is like, teams aren't just like helping you out. Like, hey, you know what?
Like Ellis Island.
Hey, we'll take some of that salary off your head. We feel bad for you guys.
Give me your rest.
So, give us some of your salary. Like, they have to want the guy, first of all, and to not have to take the salary back, they would have to be under the cap and everything else, like, and willing to do that. So, like, the teams aren't just out there like, hey, you know, Grizzlies, we see an issue with your salary cap. We're here to help.
Now, Derrick Rose doesn't make a lot of money, but like I said, during the press conference yesterday, he said he's already talked to management, and he's going to be back. He's going to be back for that second year of that two-year deal. You know who's an interesting guy on the roster, though, is Yuta Watanabe, who for personal reasons was gone for the last, I don't know how many weeks. He was present for the team picture, which was strange. And there was a lot of Japanese media that was there yesterday asking questions about Yuta. He has a player option. So I don't know what he's going to do as far as whether he opts back in or tries to go in the open market. But that'll be an interesting one with Yuta Watanabe. They certainly, if he takes that player option and opts back in, they could always move him or cut him. But again, you don't want to just eat salary if you don't have to eat salary. So that's why I think there will be some moves, as that texter alluded to. I just don't know who, and to, you know, who is a willing participant on the other side. Like you said, you need two to tango here.
And the good thing for the Grizzlies is they do have a lot of draft capital that if you needed to unload a salary, and you needed to get a team to take some salary off your hands, you've got plenty of draft capital to do that with. But again, it's not super easy. You can't just go out there and say, you know what, here, we're just going to get rid of these four guys and clear up their salary and then we're all set to go. I mean, you still have to find the right thing. The thing with Yuta, my hope is, and I have no idea why he was gone or whatever, but my hope is that they kind of said, listen, you can go do whatever you need to do the rest of the year. We don't need you. Just don't pick up that player option.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. Also, they got two second round picks. They've had a lot of success with those second round picks, but I can't imagine they'll use both. Maybe one will be one of those stash picks, but those are certainly possible trade bait, right? You have second round picks to go along with a player. You could throw that into a package deal. So when you look at the roster right now and who's under contract, there's not a lot of room. There's certainly not room for three new guys. A first round pick.
If they're going to use them, it'd be two way guys.
Yes, but they have already under contract for next year. I guess they can cut ties with the two way guys. But isn't Jemison and Scottie Pippen are already under contract for next year as two-way guys. Is Goodwin, Zach, do you know if Goodwin is?
Like how old he is?
No. Is he good for? Is he under contract for next year as a two-way?
Yes.
So they got all three of their two-way guys. But the they,
two-way guy, yeah,
they could dump them, sure. Yeah. But and it'll be interesting to see who goes with the team to Summer League. I think Zach Kleiman already mentioned that, you know, Jemison will be part of it. I think Pippen will be a part of it. So Goodwin probably will not be a part of the future. And I like the guy. Anybody who can rebound like that from a guard position. But, yeah, there's that possibility. But also, like I said, they're assets that they can use in possible trades. Okay. The U.S. Olympic team for the United States, the men's basketball Olympic team, was announced yesterday. And as you would expect, the veterans for one last hurrah, like Steph Curry, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, 4 years from now, I don't think any of those guys are, right? I don't know who's still playing in the, you know, maybe KD's still playing in the league. I doubt it. But all four of those guys with the last hurrah are part of this Olympic team that was announced yesterday. Woj reported it first. So when they had the select team last year, which Jaren Jackson Jr. was a part of, and some of the other really good young players in the league, with the hope of making the Olympic team, I said it on the air. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people agreed. There's just not going to be the numbers game. There's not going to be a spot for guys like that. There was no chance that Jaren was going to be on that Olympic team by sheer numbers. Now, there is one spot open. So I guess you can hold all, you know, hope that that could happen. But when you got guys like Paolo Banchero and Kate Cunningham and Jalen Green and Chet Holmgren, oh, so many I could just rattle off, Jalen Brunson, that are not even on the team, then I think it's going to be very hard for a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. I think in the future, certainly if Ja Morant stays on the straight and narrow, stays healthy 4 years from now, certainly could be Olympian. Desmond Bain could be an Olympian. Jackson certainly could be. They're not all going to be, but they certainly have that chance. But you look at this team, Embiid, who has citizenship in, what, three countries, is going to play for the United States. You got Tatum, you got Booker, you got Halliburton, Anthony Edwards taking such a leap this year. He's on the team. Drew Holiday with his defense. Bam Adebayo with his defense. So again, one open spot, that's your team. If they don't walk away with gold, I mean, again, there's been disappointments before, but I don't see how these guys don't walk away with gold, although you have teams from around the world that have gotten better and better and better with each passing year.
Yeah, I mean, if this indeed ends up, all of these guys are able to play all of that stuff, you know, no injuries or anything else, like, If that team can't win the gold, there should be there's a real problem.
Who's coaching the team? Is it Kerr?
Kerr.
Yeah, so we'll see who the 12th player is that they're going to add.
Most people believe it's Kawhi.
Yeah, I forgot about Kawhi.
If he's
healthy.
Again, as long as he's healthy. But the good thing for them is that if you look at this, like, especially the old guys, aren't really looking like they'll make long postseason runs, so they should all be good to go.
I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Really, the only guys on the team that are really positioned to make a long postseason run probably are Tatum, Drew Holiday, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, but never count out playoff Miami and Bam Adebayo. Playoff Miami always. Always a chance that they will make the run. Last night, it was all about the WNBA. They had their draft. It's the first time I can remember being interested at all in the WNBA draft. Their commissioner talked about adding teams in the future, hoping to get one, I think she said by, did she say 26? And hoping to get a few more by 28. One of the cities that was mentioned, Nashville, for a WNBA team. Caitlin Clark, as expected, goes number one to Indiana. Some other highlights. Angel Reese goes to Chicago, number seven. Former Ole Miss guard Markeisha Davis goes number 11 overall to New York.
Yeah, it was crazy to see, like, again, the Caitlin Clark. I mean, Indiana, like, they had a, like, a packed arena watch party for them to draft her number one overall. Like, it's, she is, The effect she has is crazy. It's going to be amazing to see what she, just the impact. I don't know what their attendance was in Indiana, but I would assume they will sell out every game with her there.
She should be getting a piece of the ticket sales, the concessions, the parking. Her teammate, by the way, in Iowa, Kate Martin, was picked in the second round by Las Vegas. So, again, big night for the women, and they deserved it.
And the was it Chicago that drafted Reese and Cardoso?
Cardoso, yep.
Cardoso's right. Like, I don't know how a team will get a rebound against them. if with those two, I mean, my goodness gracious. Like, how in the hell are you supposed to ever get a rebound against those two? I mean, that is, you talk about upgrading your front line. That's upgrading your front line. You had those two players together. That is, that's a crazy upgrade of a front line. I don't know what they have there now. I don't know if they have a player on their front line, but they don't need them anymore with those two.
To have two picks in the top seven, I'm assuming they sucked last year, unless they made some kind of big trade. But, yeah, I think they've been helped an awful lot by the drafting of those two young ladies. When we come back, we'll talk NBA playoffs or postseason. The play-in begins tonight with the Lakers and the Pelicans, Warriors and the Kings. And big news for the Tigers yesterday as far as their schedule for the 24-25 season. We'll discuss both of those topics coming up in just a moment.
This hour of our program, first hour, brought to you each and every day by the folks at the Big Green Egg. It's the best grill there is and the last grill you'll ever need to buy. Go to biggreenegg.com, get all the information you need. You can find them here in town. Check them out in person. See all the different sizes. See all the different egg accessories that you can get to go with it over at Ace Hardware locations, Hamilton Fireplace, and more with the Big Green Egg.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So tonight, the NBA postseason begins. Lakers at the Pelicans, 6:30. That'll be the early game. Then the Warriors at the Kings at 9 o'clock. Yesterday, Zach, you had brought up an interesting scenario about the Lakers situation. Anthony Davis, by the way, is he 100%? Is he coming in hobbled? What is his deal? Anybody know?
It's fine.
As we talked about yesterday, the Lakers, yeah, maybe it's not the worst case scenario if they lose, as long as they win their next play-in game, but you try to avoid the number one seed. Try to avoid Denver, right? Is that what you're trying to do here? Was that the scenario?
The winner of this gets
Denver. Avoid Denver.
Yeah, the winner gets Denver. So you're trying to avoid Denver, even though Denver's the 2 seed in the West. I think most people fear Denver rather than Oklahoma City. But so that's why it's not the worst case scenario if they lose, other than then they put their backs up against the wall because they have to win the next game. But I don't know. I mean, I think the Pelicans just – overall, without the Lakers, you know, and they're certainly not going to go in there try to lose, but the Pelicans might just be a better team anyway.
Well, the thing with the Lakers, if they were to, again, try to finagle it to avoid Denver, they are a combined 1-7 against the Warriors in Sacramento. So putting yourself into a must-win against one of those two teams, Sacramento swept them, went 4-0 against them, and they went 1-3 against the Warriors. So you're not putting yourself in a good situation.
Yeah, because Davis got clobbered by Sabonis. Sabonis has won, what, 10 straight games when he's battled Anthony Davis?
If there was a team, New Orleans would be the team, if either one of them, like if you wanted to do it, because New Orleans went 5-0 against Sacramento and went 2-1 against Golden State. So if there was a team that could say, well, hey, wait, we have a better chance maybe of doing it this way. It would be New Orleans on that side of things. But now it would be funny if both teams were trying to lose.
Halftime at 6-2.
I mean, that now if we get to a point where both teams are trying to lose, Adam Silver is not going to be a very happy camper. But
he will lose his hair over that, I'm telling you.
If suddenly, if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are sitting out and Zion sitting out and everybody, like, all of a sudden it looks like a final day of the regular season matchup with nobody playing, that would not be good. But I get it. I don't think anybody, you take that
Nobody's
chance.
Trying
you,
to lose.
You get yourself into the playoffs. You don't want it to come down to a one game deal that where you could miss out completely
exactly.
on the playoffs. So I think both teams will put their best foot forward tonight and try and win this game.
Like on paper, like the Pelicans have the athletes to go up against the Nuggets. It's just the IQ that you kind of worry about because, again, the Nuggets are like an old machine.
Oh, offense. Yeah. Does New Orleans have Brandon Ingram back?
They are saying that he should be back.
I mean, if you got Ingram back with Valanciunas, with Zion Williamson, with CJ McCollum, with, I mean, come on. That is a really good, that team to me is better than the Lakers. So it may not be the Lakers trying to lose. It may just be the Pelicans beat them if that's where, you know, the way they want to go. And then the Warriors and the Kings. As most people believe, this is the last hurrah for the Warriors. Draymond Green, the introverted Draymond Green, doesn't like to speak out too much. He's already belly aching about the play-in. It is what it is, Draymond. But the dynasty that was the Warriors has come to an end, and most people believe that it'll wrap up tonight.
What I don't know what you're belly aching about when, if you went for the play-in, you would be. I mean, unless he wants his vacation started already.
He may be leaning toward that, but I don't know. The Kings with Sabonis, with Fox, the Warriors obviously a healthy dose of Steph Curry tonight, but I don't see it. Going up against their old coach and Mike Brown, I think it ends for the Warriors tonight. Again, that'll be the late game of the two. From college basketball, yesterday afternoon, I think John Rothstein had it first, that the Memphis Tigers have reached a deal on a home-and-home with UNLV beginning this upcoming season, the 24-25 season in Sin City, which makes sense. I would assume that that's going to be a part of that trip where Memphis will eventually be in Maui to play in the Maui Invitational, but also plays San Francisco. That was already announced that they'll play the Dons, and that game will be actually at the Golden State Warriors' home at the Chase Center. So now it makes sense, right? You're not going to have separate trips. So probably two games before they head to Hawaii, stopping at UNLV, stopping in San Francisco, and then going on to Maui. Again, that's speculation on my part. But it is going to happen with a home and home. Now, what I think it should lead to is eventually an American Conference versus Mountain West series where you have matchups between those two leagues.
Yep. People have brought that up as to get the American to have one of these challenges with another conference, and certainly a conference like that you are competing for NCAA tournament spots, kind of theoretically on the same level. That certainly wouldn't be a bad idea to have a challenge series with that conference.
So right now, the Memphis schedule for next season, 24-25 season, at San Francisco, at UNLV, the Maui Invitational, at Clemson, at Virginia, home versus Missouri. Now, I'm not talking about conference. I'm talking about non-conference. So that's all you got right now, I believe. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you're talking about, what, five more games, I think, that they have to schedule? Non-conference wise, is that correct? So you got to put something together for this home schedule. We're going to talk to Jeff Crane coming up at 8:25, as we do each and every week from the University of Memphis. And although he really doesn't play a big part in the scheduling, certainly you want to make that home schedule as appealing as possible. Because all of a sudden you look at that conference after the loss 2 years, this past year of Houston, along with Cincinnati, an old rival, along with UCF, You bring in a Florida Atlantic. That was great last year. But now Florida Atlantic, losing players, losing their coach. They're going to be a shell of themselves. And they were only a big name for 2 years as far as on the NCAA tournament landscape.
They were a big name for 1 year.
Well, last year they were always in the top 25, then dropped out and ended up in the tournament.
Yeah, last year was the year they were the big name. The other year, they just were a team that got hot in the tournament, made a Final Four run. Nobody right. cared about Florida Atlantic that year.
Right. They became a big name as the tournament rolled along. So, yes, I mean, we're splitting hairs here. But, yes, so you have to do what you can with this home portion of your non-conference schedule. I just don't know who else are you going to play here. Now, San Francisco, UNLV, it's not exactly, you know, blue bloods here. We're not talking about big powers, but certainly challenges on the road. Maui, there's a chance that you're going to play some very good teams. And then you have to return the favor at Clemson at Virginia. You beat both of them last year, but now you have to go on the road for those two. So the only one at home is Mizzou, who you beat on the road at Missouri last year. So there's going to be some added to that as far as the schedule for the 24-25 season. Basketball portal news. Big Z is committed to Arkansas. Surprise, surprise. Jumped into the portal after the John Calipari news, and now Big Z, the 7-footer, is headed to Fayetteville to play for John Calipari.
Sure, Big Z will be a hit in Fayetteville.
Hey, that's his kind of place, right? Walmart, Tyson Foods, all the big Fortune 500 companies. And DJ Wagner, who announced that he is in the portal, no word yet on where he's headed, but I would guess there's a good opportunity. He also links up with Cal once again. Well, folks, speaking of basketball, if you want to improve your shooting, which will improve your overall game, you could take your basketball shooting and passing skills to new levels at Shoot 360 Memphis. Shoot 360 is a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge science and technology and provides instant objective feedback with actual hands-on, one-on-one expert coaching that will help make you the best basketball player on any court. Shoot 360 is utilized by a diverse range of basketball players, from young talents to high school to college. Even NBA players like Steph Curry use this system. All skill levels use the Shoot 360 basketball program to learn proper shooting techniques, improve their fundamentals, and gain a competitive edge. Shoot 360 Memphis will be moving soon from Collierville to a bigger and more convenient location in Cordova. You could sign up with them right now before the big move on June 1st. To do so, give them a call. Hey, have a tour. Have them give you a tour of the facility. If you're not sure what I'm talking about here, you'd like to see it firsthand, you can do that. Bring your son, bring your grandson, bring your daughter, bring your granddaughter, bring any players, if you're a coach out there, to Shoot 360. Let them see what it's all about. 901-316-5500 is the number to call, 901-316-5500, or visit them at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. The future of basketball training is here, Shoot 360 Memphis. Coming up, hour number two, we'll begin things with Humdinger's Trivia. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.